New poll numbers in the Senate race. Can Joe Donnelly hold on? Mike Pence's big lead in the race for governor. Scandal in the Department of Child Services and plans to privatize the lottery. That plus the state of education, Richard Murdoch in the kitchen, and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending September 28, 2012.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
This week, a new poll shows the Indiana Senate race is still a dead heat. The poll by Democratic pollster Fred Yang and Republican pollster Christine Matthews shows Democrat Joe Donnelly leading Republican Richard Murdoch 40-38.
The poll shows Murdoch running 14 points behind Mitt Romney and 9 points behind Mike Pence. Joe Donnelly's campaign likes the result.
He has a more favorable rating, and Richard Murdoch has a Republican problem. So we're seeing the environment necessary for Joe to be successful on Election Day.
I like to do a little cooking, and I've got a little salsa recipe for you.
Nice. Murdoch also suffers from a gender gap, possible motivation for this appearance in the indie-style kitchen. He expects the race to be close to the end.
We know we're going to be working till 6 p.m. in the central time zones of Indiana on Election Day. We're very confident we're going to win this race, very confident.
But the poll also shows that Republicans are still a stronger party in Indiana, and that's why Donnelly keeps distancing himself from fellow Democrats.
I am the sixth most conservative Democrat in the entire House of Representatives. I have a very, very independent voting record.
And the poll shows that 15% of Indiana voters still haven't decided on Donnelly or Murdoch.
How will this race end? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel, Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender, editor at thestatehousefile.com, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Mike McDaniel, should this poll sound alarms for Richard Murdoch?
Well, he's had $4 million of negative ads run against him since the primary, so it's not surprising that it's where it is right now. I still hold that that at the end of the day, he's going to win this thing, not by much, as I've said on here time and time again, but I think he will squeak through because I think the top of the ticket is going to be pretty out of line for the rest of
the same thing. Poll showed Mitt Romney ahead 52-40.
And Pence up also, and I think that if they hold anywhere near where they are now, and obviously those will tighten up too, just out of the sheer numbers, but I think that probably helps him carry the day in this election.
We keep talking about the role of the Lugar Republicans in this race, and one of the most interesting findings is that the Libertarian, Andy Horning, is at 7%, higher than he's ever polled in two previous statewide races, and Christine Matthews said that he's drawing Republicans.
Sure, he's drawing Republicans. Republicans who were offended by the way Richard Murdoch treated Richard Lugar in that primary. I mean, he was the Tea Party darling, and he ran as far to the right as he could to get the nomination. He labeled Dick Lugar a liberal in the course of that back and forth in that campaign. And either he's the biggest cynical hypocrite I've ever seen as a politician, or he's just, you know, telling falsehoods, because now he wants everybody to believe he's a moderate. Now he wants to talk about how he wants to work with the other side and all of that after basically saying it is my way or the highway. And that's what voters remember, including Lugar Republicans. So he's got a very, very tough mountain to climb, and I don't think he's going to make it.
Lots of developments in this race this week. Karl Rove's PAC Crossroads GPS started buying $1 million worth of ads. The Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee is buying $500,000 worth of ads for Donnelly. Three out-of-state U.S. senators came along with Dan Coats to campaign for Murdoch in Fort Wayne, including John Cornyn, who runs the GOP Senate campaigns. I mean, some of the, that tells you that they're worried about Murdoch.
Oh, absolutely. And they also don't want to lose the possibility of keeping the seat in the R column. So this is very, very important to the leadership of the Republican Party. And they are having to embrace and try to assemble this coalition, too, which, you know, it has showed itself after the primary. So really, I think the question is going to come down, because we're going to have millions literally spent between now and the end of the election. The question becomes, is Harry Reid or Dick Lugar a more persuasive figure in, you know, those Republican circles?
Well, I think that's interesting, because Richard Murdoch...
I should say the fear of Harry Reid,
okay,
versus the love of Dick Lugar.
And Richard Murdoch mentions Harry Reid in every answer that he gives now. He wants Harry Reid...
This is the new Republican attack for... This is their new... direction for trying to win this race is to try to remind voters that Donnelly is a Democrat in the end, that he's a Democrat.
Do Indiana voters even know who Harry Reid is?
I'm not sure. The people who pay a lot of attention do. But I'm not sure they were going to ever vote for Joe Donnelly to begin with. And so I'm not sure that they do really know that. But it does show that the Murdoch folks are worried about this. And they should be. It's probably still Murdoch's race to lose, but I mean, clearly Donnelly is doing a good job in this race.
You're saying it's Murdoch's race to lose because it's a Republican state.
It's a Republican state, and there are strong, Republican
states. This poll showed that 43% of Indiana voters are self-identified Republicans, 38% self-identified Democrats.
Actually, that was the one thing I noticed when I looked at this, because every other poll that I've seen, this year particularly, there's an 8% spread, or 8-point spread, and people identify as Republicans. There wasn't that many in this one. So I think they probably sampled light on Republicans in this poll.
Or when Romney cratered, he took down some of the voter ID for the Republicans as well.
Actually,
when he attacked
Romney's
half the population
here,
of the country.
And so is Pence, and I think Murdoch wins because of it.
We'll see.
You're right about that. We will.
All right. Speaking of Pence, the poll shows Republican Mike Pence with a solid lead in the race for governor, 47-34, over Democrat John Gregg. Libertarian Rupert Bonham joined them as all three candidates for governor made their case this week at the Hobnob, an event put on by the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce.
We talked for more than 20 years about I-69 from Evansville to Indianapolis. Now it is becoming a reality. I think the next governor of Indiana needs to make a commitment to finish that work, and we have.
Now, I do not have millions of dollars behind me to buy those big ad campaigns and have those TV commercials, but I do have the thousands behind me that are letting me get out and go across the state.
What we propose is an efficiency audit. Six states have done them, and every state that does it turns up 5% of the money annually. That means if we did that in Indiana, we could find $700 million.
And Delaney, what needs to happen for this to become a competitive race?
Well, I don't think that they've really engaged the interest of the voters in this campaign yet. I mean,
a lot of the attention's been on the Senate race.
It's been on the Senate race, and you know, Mike Pence has spent millions and millions of dollars on the air, and this is supposedly a Republican year, and everything's going for the Republicans, according to Mike. They're going to walk away with everything, and he can't get over 50%. I don't think it's fully engaged yet. And
well,
I think John Gregg still has the opportunity to turn this around.
I think this is an interesting poll, though, from the fact that it's the first poll that's been taken since John Gregg's ads started. And it seems to show that the ads aren't terribly effective.
That's true. And I think that would be very disappointing if you're John Gregg. The problem with Ann's argument about they haven't fully engaged yet is they should have by now. And the problem is, now is when all the clutter begins. Now is when every other candidate starts showing up in the air. All the candidates for Congress, all the candidates for state office, all the legislative candidates. Your television and radio and your mailboxes are going to be full of this stuff the rest of the way. So if you're going to really break out and make people pay attention to this race, it gets much harder down the stretch because of all the clutter that's going to go on here in the final days of this campaign.
It depends on the quality of the ad.
Well, that's true. There is some truth to that. But it's going to be very difficult to do. And, you know, Mike Pence is going to continue to run as if he's behind. And he's not about to coast the rest of the way.
You know what? He's not running.
He's not running
like he's behind.
He's running like he's way ahead.
He hasn't said a negative thing on air about his opponent.
Exactly right.
That's not why he's running.
Let me just give Leslie a chance at this. He also hasn't said a specific thing about what he'll do as governor.
Yes, he has. Oh,
yeah,
that's not true. That's not true.
He's been a little bit specific if you want to compare it to the way he was during the primary when we were calling on him to be specific and he really wasn't. But yeah, I mean, when you compare it to when Mitch Daniels was first running for governor and he was coming out with ideas, really specific proposals all the time, it's nowhere close. I mean, I agree. I think he's running as if he thinks he's way ahead. And I don't mean to make it sound like I think he's being a conceited candidate in the way that he's running. But I think his campaign, he's playing it very safe.
And he doesn't want to talk about the issues that have motivated him all these years, all those Tea Party agenda
talking
issues.
Talking about jobs and education.
Actually, I think he is pretty – he's willing to talk about some of those things, but he's just not willing to be very specific about it.
Tell me, does John Gregg need to do something different?
He needs to make Mike Pence talk about those issues. He needs to somehow draw him out so that Mike Pence doesn't run a campaign as he should at this point as the front runner. And I haven't seen the issue yet. They haven't identified the issue yet. And I just have a hard time imagining that in the last 40 days.
The head of the state's Department of Child Services, James Payne, resigned amid controversy this week. Payne headed up the department since it was formed in 2005, but an Indianapolis Star investigation revealed that he was the guardian of his grandchildren after DCS removed them from their mother's home, and Payne was involved in helping his son, John Payne, and the children's father, wage a legal fight with DCS, a possible breach of department ethics.
That is not under our purview. To do an investigation of anybody in state government, we have an ethics commission, we have an inspector general, and we have the governor's office who actually has taken the matter into his hands where it should have been.
What we agreed with was either the attorney general or another entity that has those type of powers to do an investigation. Not that I would do or the legislature would do an investigation, but there needs to be an investigation done.
State Representative Vanessa Summers there, preceded by State Senator Travis Holdman, talking about the possibility of an investigation. John Ketzenberger, is Payne's resignation the logical end to this episode?
Aside from him being fired by the governor, yeah, I think it is. I mean, when you look at the case that was built, and it was done through a meticulous use of records and the facts of the case that were not disputed by Mr. Payne in the course of his actions with the FSSA and his role in promoting his personal case and essentially calling the work of the FSS or DCS rather flawed or wrong, he clearly put himself in a position which was untenable. He couldn't be both a grandfather and the head of the agency given the circumstance that he created.
Would his resignation have been required if we weren't in the middle of a campaign?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. I mean, I think the problem in this case isn't just that he was a grandfather, which I know is not what you meant, but that he became involved in criticizing DCS. He put people who worked for him in a very difficult situation in which they were trying to make decisions about his family situation. And obviously, they're still in other cases reporting to him. It's a terrible situation, and it's one that had to end.
And he didn't notify the governor of any of this, apparently. That's a mistake.
He had to resign. I mean, there wasn't any question that under the circumstances with the evidence that was put forth that he had to step aside. And it's really a tragedy because this guy has done some great work for children across Indiana for a lot of years, and I hate to see it end this way, but I don't think there was any choice. He had to do what he did.
I think there was a choice. I think the governor should have fired him. I don't think he should have been allowed to resign. What? If a prosecutor had done this.
I mean, you're talking about semantics, aren't you? I mean, this came out on Sunday. He was gone by noon Monday.
Right. Then the governor issues a statement saying that it's political and that, you know, he's a wonderful guy and this shouldn't have happened. It doesn't matter whether it was politicized, Mike. The underlying story called for him to be fired. Yeah. And the governor should have been big enough to stand up and admit that, because what he did was absolutely unpardonable. Absolutely. And I disagree with you about what a great job he's done in that office.
He has done a
His
good job.
His goal there. In the beginning, and always has been, family reunification. Family reunification is a good goal, but only if the children are safe first. And he has never put the children safe first. And I think I'm glad he's gone, and he should have been fired.
All right. So let's talk about the how do you say that?
Politicus.
John Gregg called for his removal on the morning the story came out. Mike Pence deferred to the governor. Should Mike Pence have spoken out?
Mike Pence yes. deferred to the governor because this is a problem inside the Daniels administration. And he was right to defer to the governor. And yes, it was politicized because the Democrats are looking for anything that they can talk about right now to try to get attention for the campaign. So yes, it was politicized.
Well, but you just agreed that he needed to step down. If you're John yes. Gregg and you're running for governor, that's what you should do as a candidate, isn't it?
Well, that's what he did, and okay. it was politicized.
So
but
he
talked about it.
That it's what yeah.
He talked
done.
About it.
It's what Mike so, Pence should have done too.
Well, and there are some Democrats who think John didn't have the force that he should have had
right.
in bringing that his case forward. So you know, I think it unfolded in a very predictable fashion, and the result was the way it should be.
The state's lottery commission could decide next week whether to privatize portions of the Hoosier Lottery. Lottery commission members spoke publicly about the proposal for the first time this week, saying any move to outsource lottery operations would only be made on the state's terms. To do that, the lottery says it would require a revenue guarantee of sorts. A vendor would agree to pay the state a certain amount every year, even if that money isn't generated by lottery play. Any money earned above that amount would be split between the vendor and the state. So far, the lottery won't say what that level is. Two potential vendors are in the running, but two dropped out, saying that the state's demands of 20% revenue growth are not sustainable.
If they're not saying it's sustainable, what makes you think that 40 to 60% growth is sustainable with these other two companies?
Stay tuned. You have to see the business plans to answer that question.
But their business plans clearly spell out that that's possible for them?
Their business, well, or they wouldn't have responded.
Lottery Director Carl Browning there, Leslie Weidenbender, how does this story end?
Yeah, it's really tempting to say stay tuned. That's all we could get from Carl Browning. He told the commission, and he said repeatedly, that they really had three options. One would be to go with Company A, one would be to go to Company B, and then the third option is to just keep things within state control. It just didn't feel like that's the direction that they were going. We're going to find out for sure next week. But I think they're going to make a recommendation to move to one of these companies, and I think it's going to be an interesting debate at the commission level.
Interesting timing here, as we're in the last few months of the Daniels administration. Is this something that should maybe wait?
You can make that argument, but the commission is a quasi-governmental organization, and they have their own clock, I suppose. But it does seem to be a rush to the finish, and. You really have to look hard at this. He's not straightforward about the business plans. Public can't see those yet because they won't release them. But, you know, the terms of the deal are very difficult. This is a mature lottery. All of the real growth that you're going to gain without trying to scalp the business of your other gambling interests is already there. I mean, it is what it is. And so to think that you can grow it by 20% a year, I think is a pretty aggressive target.
No matter what you think of the concept of privatization, the Daniels administration was very successful in the toll road deal in getting what appears now to be a larger sum of money than what it was worth. I mean, if they can get these companies to buy into this deal and it benefits the taxpayers, can that be bad?
I don't think that this is the same kind of privatization that, that most Democrats would oppose, which would be privatization of essential services that are there. This is kind of like an add-on. And, if it makes sense financially, that's one thing. But it has to be looked at long and hard. I disagree. I mean, on the toll road, yeah, they got more money. And now what is it worth to us? It was supposed to fund all of our roads for the rest of the millennium at least, and the money's gone. So it's really not.
I think
the money was used for what it was intended.
I think so too.
Well, yeah. And the other stuff is locked up, and we're not using it. We don't have the growth on it, which was, we weren't going to raise the tolls ourselves because this was going to provide ongoing revenue, and it's not. So you need to look at these things carefully. Is all I'm saying.
Is the timing curious?
Not really. I'm not at liberty to talk about this because the law firm that I work for represents one of the companies doing legal work.
Okay.
We're not doing government affairs work, but we are doing legal work. But I will say this about the issue, as far as your question about timing. Mitch Daniels talked about this early on in his administration. He also told people that he wanted to do these things before he left office. And so as far as timing is concerned, anybody that's surprised that Mitch Daniels is trying to continue to do the things that were on his checklist shouldn't be surprised.
Well, let's not forget either that the lottery had some of its own issues in
right.
in recent history that probably have helped lead to this discussion.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific poll question in connection with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, should the lottery be privatized? Your choices are A, yes, B, no, or C. It's a question for the next administration. Last week's question was, is there too much negative campaigning? 14% said, no, I love a good fight. 77% said, yes, my ears are bleeding. 9% said, just eliminate the black and white villain ads. To take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. State School Superintendent Tony Bennett suggested this week that the next step in education reform may be to make whole school districts accountable as a way to improve scores. That was the overall theme in his State of Education address at the Indiana Historical Center. Bennett highlighted schools like Yorktown, which have pushed their students to perform at a higher level with college preparation courses starting in middle school. He also outlined a new way to evaluate teachers.
Beginning this school year, all districts will use locally designed teacher evaluations. These new evaluations must consider student academic performance and growth, but local school corporations have full flexibility to determine other factors to include in the overall evaluation of teacher effectiveness. These evaluations will identify our strongest teachers and reward them for their efforts.
Ann Delaney, is Tony Bennett moving too fast?
I don't know if it's moving too fast, but he obviously isn't considering the conflicting messages he's sending out. For example, he talks about an 85% graduation rate. Well, there are 12% waivers. By my math, that means that there's a 73% graduation rate, not the 90% rate he promised. And then he's dumbing down the teacher certification requirements to a B average. And then on top of that, as the star pointed out in their story, he can't even figure out percentages on his own. So, I mean, I think, as I've said for some time here, we need to take a deep breath on some of these things and see what's working before we rush on to whatever the next idea is. We don't even know that. And the charter schools was supposed to be the answer, and now we've got charter schools closing because they can't meet minimum standards. You know, there are a lot of issues here.
His approach is Mitch Daniels-esque, isn't it?
You
try a lot of things, and some of them fail.
Be very aggressive about it, and he has been, and it's working. And the numbers are up. Graduation levels are up. More people are taking advanced college classes. Seriously, all those numbers are true. They're up. And so what he's doing now,
he
talking about
putting...
Are you done?
Just curious.
Go ahead, Mike.
Are you done?
No,
the grade point. The grades, putting grades on school systems is a great idea because it forces school systems to talk about what they can do to improve in comparison to other school systems. Everybody's ahead of the game.
He also reported this week that vouchers, last year there were 3,900 vouchers given out in the first year. This year it's up to 9,300.
Mm-hmm. Vouchers are very popular. There's no doubt about it. I think that number is going to probably continue to go up. At some point, we may hit a capacity problem within the private schools, but we may see the private schools adapt to that. So I think it's going to grow.
Or you may see the Supreme Court strike it down as unconstitutional
All right.
as well.
Democrat Glenda Ritz is running against Bennett. She's trying very hard to make this a race, not getting much traction.
Well, she got mentioned right here, Jim, so I guess that helps a little bit. But she's been behind the curve all along, you know, was named to the ticket late, hasn't had the resources, and Tony Bennett's done a good job of making sure he's driving it. I'm not disputing that at all, Ann. I'm just saying that she's not able to gain traction in the race, unfortunately, for her.
Finally, the latest installment in Candidates Cooking. Republican Senate candidate Richard Murdoch was in the kitchen at Wish TV's Indie Style this week. He made salsa as a part of an ongoing series of cooking segments involving the statewide candidates. It's an effort to help you get to know them better.
Your viewers are going to see this goes very, very quickly. And by the way, this is the perfect thing to watch a little Colts football.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right.
When the question comes up, are you ready for some football? In our house, the answer is no, unless my salsa.
Oh, there you go. Okay. You
mentioned Mike McDaniel, did you know he could cook?
No, I didn't know he could cook.
He's got the apron. He's got the apron that says public servant.
I'm glad he can. I think that's a good thing. I wish I could. I know I like to eat, but I can't cook.
It's actually only chopping up. You could probably even do that.
I could do that? Yeah, okay, good. Well, no, I think this is very important stuff. I think making salsa on TV is one of the key things.
you weren't impressed when it was just
what I said. That's why I said what I did say.
Just to remind you of that.
You're staying consistent. I think that was goofy then. I think it's goofy now. They'll be talking about jobs and education and nothing else.
He's not
going to
win the women's vote. I mean, he was part of the war on women from the beginning, and it's not going to get him the women's vote. Sorry.
Might get him in the kitchen. That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panelists, Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender of the StateHouseFile.com, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast or starting Monday. You can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Things can go wrong in 1,000 different ways. Businesses need a law firm that knows the 1,000 and first. The team of legal professionals at Ice Miller is committed to helping put the pieces back together. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.